What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that is a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
Let's jump right into the word. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. I told Pastor Adrian Davis, try not to preach the entire Bible because I have to come after you. God bless you. And I know how you like to preach it all, so just save me something to preach. And he promised me that he would. I love my brother, and that is the power of what we are building. It's not just social media relationships. Like, we actually do life together, and we believe in the power of community, and it's just a strong, strong thing that we walk by. All right, Acts chapter 13. I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we're going to unpack this thing, and we'll see what God has to say. Acts chapter 13. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and they were brought up with Herod and with Saul. Verse number 2, this is the part I really want. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. For a few minutes, I'm going to be preaching a message called The Miracle in the Mist. The Miracle in the Mist. Father, thank you for your word. It's already blessed. Let it come alive in your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here the power of fasting and praying. And I, this morning, I woke up with a tremendous burden as I was asking God what he wanted to do. I woke up with a tremendous burden to begin to minister about the power of fasting and praying. And there are keys that will unlock when you begin to fast and pray. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 3, separate yourself, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow I am going to do great works among you. There is a tremendous power anytime that God corporately gives a leader a mandate to command the people to set yourself aside for consecration for X amount of days. It is God's invitation to the miraculous. I believe that we have enough churches that have enough self-help and enough motivational speeches. What America needs today, in my estimation, is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you will submit yourself to the turning away of your own desires, you will begin to see power from another world flow through your life. And I get it. Most of this type of conversation makes people uneasy because it's hard to walk in something when you cannot thoroughly explain how you came about that power. It is the mystery of God that he would give a gift to men hidden in the power of the Holy Spirit that they would be able to do supernatural acts. Let me just make sure I don't hit the fast forward button too soon. I want to encourage you that you are not just a natural, normal individual. When you came over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you came into the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I get it. We all want to be able to do great exploits and great things, but I am under the persuasion that without the power of the Holy Spirit, I do not have the strength in my flesh to accomplish all of the things that God has called me to do. You have got to submit your life to the call and the power and the submission of the Holy Ghost. Here is why. God, in his infinite wisdom, will call you to do things that you cannot complete on your own. When you come to realize that what God has called me to do, I don't have the resources, I don't have the strength, I don't have the intellect to be able to accomplish those tasks, immediately your spirit man cries out and says, "I know who can give us the power to get this done." I am so impressed as I am looking around at this incredible edifice of what God has given you all, but I'm starting to get the sneaky suspicion that this is not the totality of what God has called you to have. 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, we are sitting in a place that cannot hold the current confines of those that call this place home. Anytime you begin to look around and it looks as if the walls are caving in on you, get ready. God is about to expose you to a thing called expansion. Whenever you find yourself restricted, and just look at your neighbor and say, scoot over, scoot over, scoot over. See, you see the fact that they have no other place to go? It tells me that God is about to call this place into supernatural growth. Let me just pause real quick. You know, the Baptist boy was here last week. I'm doing my best to hold it together. But Father, I just prophesy to this place that the walls are about to evaporate. Give us another miracle building that can hold the revival that you want to send to this city. If you believe it, take 8 seconds and say, Lord, I'm ready. Your mandate is not just for your four and no more. God has mandated. When you become a part of something bigger than your narrative, God has put his hand on a place. And when he does, it behooves you. That's a good King James word. It behooves you to submit yourself to the guidance of the house. Help me, Holy Ghost. When God gives you a man of God and he whispers in his ear, tell my children to do this and tell my kids to do that. The best way that you can come alignment with the word of God is that when your man of God says we're going in this direction, we follow in that direction. Now, let me just deal with all the skeptics that are watching online and might possibly be hiding in the room. Amen. I'm not talking about a cult where we are brainwashed into following a man. Y'all don't want to say amen. I'm a preacher. To the drums. I'm not talking about following a man. I'm talking about following the God in a man. You know you're not following a cult when you can look at the man and say, I know you got flesh and blood, but something speaks to you that don't talk to me. And when God speaks to that man, I come alive. High five your neighbor and say, come alive, come alive, come alive. It is not that I follow a man out of religious rule and order. I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit inside of that man. So when that man says, it's time to push your plate back, put your fork down, throw your knife away, I must realize that my obedience is about to open up the supernatural. I wish I had 2 weeks with you. The supernatural is not just a catchphrase used by churchy people. No, the supernatural comes on you that you would be able to grab and do things that you ordinarily could not do in your flesh. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that God has given this place a supernatural invitation. Aren't you ready to see blind eyes open? Aren't you ready to see deaf ears unstopped? Aren't you ready for the lame to walk and the dumb to talk? These are not just miracles reserved for the book of Acts. It is reserved for a church that is ready to say, I'll do whatever it takes. And we find here, I think it's interesting, that in this particular passage, we find an apostolic mandate. Help me, Holy Ghost, to say it right. We find an apostolic mandate. Watch this. As the apostolic mandate comes from the church to the individuals, there is a separation process. Everybody say separate. There is a separation process that begins to happen. But before there is separation, there is always fasting. Why? Because fasting is the crucifixion of the flesh. Which means that you are telling King's stomach you are no longer in charge. Now, you were shouting real good about the supernatural, but now that we're getting ready to get deliverance from donuts, don't nobody want to say nothing. Amen. There comes a moment in your life where you got to tell the pork chops, you principality of pork, you're coming down. You got to tell the greens, I know that you can help, but you got to come down. Why? Because you have got to remind your flesh that just because you want something don't mean you gonna get it. Now, here comes a curse word in the church that we don't talk about. It's called self-control, where no matter what your flesh desires, sometimes you've got to tell that booger, get in your place. You are not getting what you want. It is the practice of self-control that every great man and woman of God, every great house of God, at some point will have to crucify the desires that it wants to live by. That's the power of fasting. It's not that you're, and then in the second service, I'm going to tell you about the power of prayer. But in this one, the power of fasting comes upon you so that not just so you can get a miracle. You know, that I don't have a magical formula for you, but when you submit yourself to fasting, it attunes your ear to the frequency of heaven. Every time that fasting is introduced in the Bible, you always see clear. I wish I had some intercessors in here. You always see some clear communication about what God wants to do next. So don't fast so that you can get bills paid. Fast so that you can get a blueprint to get the bills paid. Woo! And when God begins to speak to you, you can live in perpetual favor. You've got to attune your ear by the silencing of your flesh. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present yourself holy, and a living sacrifice. Why? Because when you can get this flesh under control, God can begin to send power from another world to you. But the problem is we can't hear because our flesh is raging. So we find a place, an opportunity, a space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Watch this. It's an apostolic mandate. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Everybody say fasting. The Holy Spirit said, it's powerful. They fasted, God said, got to read the Bible slow. They fasted and God said, they fasted and God. Some of you have been believing God for, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, where I've been believing for a long time, praying for a long time, tithing for a long time, and it just seems like I can't hear God. Why not try fasting? I believe over the next 21 days that God is about to so speak to this body that they are about to get instruction for the future. Everybody say, I receive it. As they begin to fast, watch, it's powerful. As they begin to fast, the Holy Spirit said, now here comes the tough part, separate to me. Now, separate to me. Sometimes when God institutes and calls for a fast, and then God speaks, then God starts to separate. Holy Spirit calls for a fast. Holy Spirit then speaks. Holy Spirit then separates. You may not feel it. You may not even like it, but you are not like everybody else. Your life has been separated. This is a part of the mandate of this house. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you less than. But God called me and told me to come into this place and to announce to you what the next season is going to smell like. It's going to smell like separation. Now your little group chats and your little threads and your phones and your memes and all of your emails, just get ready for some of that stuff to dry up. Why? Because where you're going, any communication that distracts you from faith is about to be pulled down. Because when God has something for you to do, you can't be distracted by your past. That's why old booze be texting you. That's why old jobs trying to come back and get you. Why? Because when your future is ready, your past always wants you back. But if you'll ever get to the point where you believe that I can't go back to where I came from. Now the rest of y'all are lying, but there's about 9 of us in here that know old things want me back, but I can't go. He said, separate them. There is something unique about Barnabas and Saul that I want them separated. Look at your neighbor and say, separate. I'm not saying isolation. No, because that's where y'all love to go when you go into a cave and you get offended. I'm just doing me right now. I'll be back next week. Just give me some space. You know, some people just go through and we quiet, not because we hate you, but because shut up, devil. What I'm trying to encourage you. No, not isolation, because if hell can isolate you, depression is right around the corner, because you're going to assume that woe is me and I'm the only one going through. Absolutely not. All of us got something that we're working through, and the Bible says forsake not the assembling of yourselves, which tells me isolation is not going to get it done. Look at your neighbor and say, don't isolate yourself. That's the wrong neighbor. That one rolled their teeth at you. Look at the other neighbor and say, don't isolate yourself. You know, it just take me a few weeks. No. In this season of corporate fasting, you have got to be a part of what the body is doing. Since when
when the foot gets offended, says, I'm not a part of this body anymore. You know, I used to play basketball, and every time I would roll my ankle never said, I'm out of here. I don't want to be a part of what's going on. No, that ankle stayed until it healed. Look at your neighbor and say, sit down until you heal. Lord Jesus, I'm all off my sermon, but there is this weird renegade spirit going on where everybody wants a microphone and you just are bleeding on everybody. Why not get your credit together before you preach to anybody? Why not make sure that your spouse comes home before you say anything? Y'all ain't gonna say amen. Let me get up out of here. Look at your neighbor and say, heal before you give some hope. Just a Facebook live in for nothing. Okay, I'm sorry. Lord Jesus. Pastor Rowe, invite me back. Let me, everybody say separate them. Everybody say separate them. What is on your life is about to separate you. There is a separation from good to great. There is a separation from being a speaker to having a word from God. You ain't gonna say nothing. There is a separation from just going to church religiously and then coming into a prophetic house that opens up the water of worship. I wish you knew where you were sitting. As you all began to worship this morning, I began to hear the ancient wells. I feel the Holy Ghost. I began to hear the ancient wells of worship begin to open up here. I prophesy that the angels come in and worship in here. I speak to every minstrel and every worshiper that as the anointing come on you, before anybody lay hands on anybody, as you lift your voice, may blind eyes open. Oh yeah, let the worship of the King come upon you. Lift your hands. There is no program today. Let worship arise in this place. Come on, that's it. You waiting for what's next? And I'm telling you, in heaven there is no preaching and there is no revival. The elders cast their crowns and the angels cry, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. He said, separate them. They're not like everybody else. Separate them. Don't treat them like others. Separate them. You can't feel it, but there is a separation in the spirit happening right now. I just prophesy. I'm going back home to Memphis, so I'm going to say it and run. I prophesy to this city that this church is about to become separated. There is about to be a unique explosion in here of the power of God that is about to separate you. Let the anointing of separation come upon you. It's not separation to haughtiness. It's separation unto the glory of God. I don't know why he chose me. All I know is he said, come here. He said, separate them. I got 8 minutes. I got to hurry. He said, separate them. I have called them. Here, watch the progression. A man of God called for fasting. Fasting opened up communication between God and that church. Then God says, once their ear is open and their flesh is quiet, now separate these men. Why? I am about to send them. He said, I am about to send them. Holy Spirit calls for a fast. The fast separates them. The instruction comes to send them. After separation comes sending. It's an apostolic mandate where God calls you. Hear me. If God is going to send you somewhere, that means you have to abandon the old place of residency. Now, I'm not telling you to do nothing other than what the Holy Spirit says, but watch what I'm saying. Holy Spirit said, send them into a brand new assignment. These men that were being considered, for separation. These were not men that just did not know the Lord. They had spent time with God. And anytime that God sees that you are ready to move to the next level, you have done well in the place where you are. Congratulations. I came in here to announce to you that at the end of 21 days, that God is about to send you into a brand new assignment. Now, for some of you, you don't know whether to shout or to cringe, but I'm telling you, wherever God sends, he pays for the bill where he sends you. I speak to the core of your spirit, man, that no matter what stands in opposition, you would be willing to say yes to the next. So I'm going to send them. which means you're going to have to abandon your old ways of doing things. And I'm going to tell you why God makes you go into fasting first. Because before you can do anything for him, you've got to tell some things in you no. So he calls you into a fast to separate you, then to send you. Hear me. Do not look for approval from people that were not separated. That's okay. Never look for affirmation from those that aren't sent on the same journey you're going on. I'm not calling you into arrogance. I'm calling you into awareness. That when God gets ready to send you into promotion, and he gets ready to send you into healing, and he gets ready to send you into a successful marriage, and he gets ready to send you into ministry, hear me, there is always going to be someone that is going to assess why you're not worthy to walk in what he called you to. But listen to me, beloved, you ought to be ready to defend yourself like this. I didn't call myself into it, he did. And because he called me, don't get mad because he didn't say your name. All I can do is say my answer. I came from an old church, and that old church used to say, my soul says yes. Woo. Yes in the morning, yes at noon. I'm just saying yes to what he called me to. Lift your hands. I prophesy to you that there be no rejection of your own call. Don't you ever again apologize for your separation. You bougie, you acting strange. Hear me, I got separated. I don't know why. All I know is that I pushed my plate back and all of a sudden the future opened up to me. Now is not the time for you to sneak a cheeseburger. Now is not the time for you to revert back. This journey of fasting is about to open up a brand new world for you. Watch this. I got 3 minutes. I'm going to skip through it. He says they went on their way. He sent them. That's an apostolic mandate. They were sent into the next. When God opens the door for you to abandon what was and he sends you into the next, it is because there is a trailblazer hidden on the inside of you. I prophesy to this house that apostolic grace is coming on you. To be able to trailblaze in places that people said was impossible for the church to go. I speak your face like flint. Skip down to verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. At who? At Bar-Jesus. Bar-Jesus was a man that was a sorcerer. And this sorcerer was trying to, the Bible says that Saul said, you are filled with evil. You are filled with distraction. You are filled with something that doesn't represent the authentic of what's in me. Watch this. This is powerful. As he begins to look at him, he begins to deal with him. The Bible says that Saul looked at him, and the Bible says that he said to him, you are about to go blind. Everybody say blind. He said, you are about to go blind. Why is that important? Because I want you to consider Saul on the road to Damascus. And as he is upon his beast going to slaughter believers, Jesus appeared to him in spirit form, your Bible says, and began to shine in that area. When he did, the light of Jesus knocked him off of his beast. We don't have time for a praise break, but some of us know what it is to be on our way to get some weed, to get some crack, to do something that is wrong, and all of a sudden, a divine intervention takes place, and I get knocked off my beast. Now, you don't want to tell the truth, but the truth is, this church was a divine intervention for some of you that knocked you off your beast. Knocks him off his beast. Jesus says, why are you fighting against me? Why are you kicking against the goats? You think you're destroying these people, but you are fighting my purpose. He begins to lay out the conversation for Saul, and then he presents him with another name, Paul. Hear me. Saul can become Paul. All of us have a Saul in us. Oh, y'all not gonna say that. All of us have something in us that does not look like who we will become. But just because you have a Saul past does not mean you don't have to have a Paul present. God is about to unveil to you your reason why. And this is interesting. The Bible says scales came on him and he was blind, right? The Bible says that he had to be led to his next destination. Read your Bible. As he goes on to say in our text, Acts chapter 13, verse 11, he says, all of a sudden, an immediate mist, everybody say a mist, a mist of darkness came on him and he was going about seeking people to lead him. This is interesting. Went through fasting, separation, and sending, there is an anointed confrontation with the workers of deception. Here's what's about to happen in your life. You are about to confront the Bar-Jesuses in your life. All of us have something that is resisting the faith that is trying to come alive in us. But when you go through fasting, then you get communication. And when you get communication, you get separation. And when you get separation, you get sending. But sending to what? Sending to a confrontation. He then comes up to this sorcerer and says, I am about to call down a miracle in the mist. Blindness is about to strike you. Now you said, Pastor Brandon, Jesus came to heal blindness. I know. But I'm talking about, how would you feel if after this 21 days of fasting that God starts blinding your enemies? What I'm telling you is, right, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, right? The enemy has no faith. So if God blinds your enemy, they have no access to how to hurt you. What's about to take place in this church is that every enemy that has arisen against this place in the spirit, God is about to blind your enemies. Why? We have submitted our lives to fasting. We are now have clear communication. This communication now leads to separation. This separation sends me to my next level. And at that place, with my flesh crucified, I tell whatever is in opposition to my future, blindness. Grab your neighbor's hand. Father, I thank you right now that you are about to do a miracle in the mist. I am praying that after this 21 days of fasting, that cancer would be blind and would not know how to live in breasts. Wait, I am prophesying that after 21 days of fasting, that car accidents would be blind and would not know how to claim lives. I am prophesying that after 21 days of fasting, that Sally Mae would be blind and debt cancellation would arise. Father, let the supernatural be released, and anything that stands in opposition to our faith, let freedom break out on every corner. I speak now to Pastor Rowe as he is resting. I declare that after these 21 days, that every enemy that stands against him, every opposition that comes to destroy him, anything that comes against what you have called him to build, let the spirit of grace come upon him. Release the angels from the ancient wells. Release Michael and his battalion, angels with swords dipped in the blood. Release this upon this area and let there be great transformation by the power of God. Let our Christ come. Your word says that if I be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto me. Let blindness arrest our adversary, that they would not have access to our future.